Good, we have a live audience today.
Sort of. We have some friends here in the kitchen in the background. If you hear any fun noises or the opening of wine, we're about to have a party. So you should be jealous.
Party podcast.
So we're doing a little weird thing today that Taylor and I came up with. We're holding off talking about some TV stuff because we have something planned for that.
We'll talk a little bit at the end of the episode.
But I think today we thought that we would come to the table with one or two recommendations.
And we're at a table.
Culture related. Taylor's going to recommend two things to me / you, the audience. And I'm going to recommend two things to him / you, the audience. So take from it what you will. But these are just things we've been consuming recently. Go ahead. If he wants to speak.
Real quick. I want to thank whoever is listening that might have downloaded the last podcast. Because we had a lot of downloads with our interview with Michelle from Survivor, and it was really great. And if you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. Even if you don't watch Survivor, there's a lot of really interesting stuff about being a Christian missionary and going on TV in a reality show. Uh-huh. And there's also a lot of fun rapid-fire questions. And she's a really interesting person. I teased this on Twitter, but she got the plague, like the plague. The one from castles and stuff.
Like the bubonic plague?
Yeah, like she got that.
Great.
So that was interesting. And despite us being a TV podcast, she talked about how she didn't watch any TV for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other thing?
She was on a TV show, so it worked.
Yeah,
out.
I guess Survivor was the only show she watched. And then the she has her own written language.
Amazing.
So there really is lots of great stuff, and it's a lot of fun. So go check that out if you haven't.
All right, talk to me about what you've been... tell me where your mind is at culturally. Are you trying to tune out the sort of political landscape and all of the sort of everything that's been happening in the world with your cultural consumption, or how are you feeling?
I am a journalist.
Literally. You work for a newspaper.
So I read the news every day. I kind of can't.
So you don't tune it out.
I have talked to some people who say that they're just like, I'm not reading the news right now, but I read a lot of it. But I guess as far as culture goes, I go to the movies every now and then. I saw John Wick 2. We can probably talk about that whenever you get around to seeing it.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, real fast.
Thumbs up.
But this is not one of your recommendations today.
No. So anyway, I go to the movies a few times and watch TV shows mostly. I'm getting into Curb Your Enthusiasm and Twin Peaks right now. Those are probably the main shows. So I'm really proud of myself.
Both of which are scheduled to come back this year.
And both of which are not really on right now. So I'm proud of myself. Right.
But they're both coming back. They're both being revived.
Yeah, yeah.
This year, right?
Yeah,
sure. Is Curb coming back this year?
I think so. That's what I've heard.
I know Twin Peaks is.
And I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Cool. Which I think maybe we have brought some special episodes of podcasts that we enjoyed that we were going to recommend. So
yeah,
hit me with
but
your first.
I think I have a book and you have an album or
a cast recording.
Cast recording.
If you will. Those who listened to our Hamilton podcast know that I'm more into the sort of theater realm of the culture and Taylor, I usually have to just be like...
So like if I say the Hamilton album is great, you would slap me because it's not called an album?
No, people should call it a cast recording or a cast album, but not a soundtrack. Okay. That's actually not... I've seen people get really fired up about that. That's actually not something I care all that much about, but anyway.
All right, well, my first thing is a book.
Ooh. Rustling the pages.
Can people hear the... It's called The Postmortal by Drew McGarry.
Okay, sell it to
me. He's a writer for Deadspin, actually, the sports media website.
So what is this book about, and why do I want to read it?
Pretty funny, but... Anyway, this is a fictional book. Has nothing to do with sports. It's about something called The Cure. It's sort of sci-fi-ish, but it's really funny and entertaining. Basically, the setup is that in the future, I think it's 2031 or something, someone invents this thing called The Cure, which cures people of death. So
okay.
No one can die. I mean, you can still die in, like, getting hit by a car or getting cancer or something. But you can't die of your body breaking down, because how it works is it freezes your metabolism or whatever, your development. So if you get the cure when you're 31, then you just stay 31.
Okay, interesting. So, but if you were to get so you're saying if you already had cancer and you tried to take this, it wouldn't help you. But if you did it,
no,
you couldn't
it wouldn't.
Get cancer. Once
no, you
died.
Could get cancer.
Oh, boy.
You
it
just,
sounds like there's a lot of rules to
your
this.
Age just can't change.
Okay.
That's it. So, like, the same things that could happen to you at the age of 31
so you don't
could still
age,
happen.
But you could still die.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, so what's great about it? It's funny.
It's funny. It's really witty. There's some chapters that are kind of just news roundups of, like, the day, and it'll lay out, like, ramifications of things that might happen
right.
because of something like this that you wouldn't think about, because, you know, I guess on the surface, the idea is that you just think, oh, that's great, no one would ever die, but obviously there's a lot of downsides to it, and a lot of the book is sort of debating whether it's a good or bad thing, and characters sort of going back and forth with whether they would prefer to die or not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sort of a lot of interesting questions about that kind of thing. I guess here's an example. Afternoon Link Roundup, and it says in the Times today, Russia's population climbs above 200 million for the first time as its government makes getting the cure mandatory for all military personnel under the age of 30.
Okay.
So it just, like, lays out random things like that, and it's really entertaining, and the concept is interesting. He explores it in fascinating little ways. It's just kind of a cool meditation on what death means.
Interesting. So this is a fiction novel.
Yeah.
Written by
the post-mortal
an internet sports writer.
Well, I mean, he does
things,
journalism too. I think.
I gotcha.
He writes for GQ, and he has a couple other fictional books. He actually has a book. A nonfiction memoir about being a dad.
Okay.
Which is pretty good, too. He's just an entertaining
writer. So you've
writer.
Read other... Like,
I've read the not the
not
memoir
just
book,
internet
yeah.
Works, but... Okay.
So,
should I hit
The Postmortal
with,
by Drew McGarry.
The Postmortal by Drew McGarry. I almost cut you off. What... Should I go next? Do you want my one of mine, or do you want to give your second one?
No, you do your
well,
your
I know you also listen to the Long Form podcast, which is...
Oh,
usually,
you're not going to do your soundtrack.
You're calling it a soundtrack just to be obnoxious. Sure. So I'll recommend my theater-related things. So last year, roughly a year ago, I think it was like spring of 2016, I was lucky enough to go with a friend to see the off-Broadway production of Dear Evan Hansen.
What is that?
It is an original musical. It is not based on a book or a movie. The composers, Pasek and Paul, actually are the lyricists for the film La La Land.
I like that.
They did not write the music. They wrote the lyrics for La La Land, but they did write the music and lyrics for Dear Evan Hansen, to be clear. But I got to see it, and then it sold out its off-Broadway run.
When did you see it?
It was very successful. I'm trying to remember what month. It was when it was off-Broadway last spring. So.
Oh, like you saw it before it was cool?
More or less. That's where I'm going with this. But I've been waiting for them to release the cast album, which is sort of these, like, great, very, like, heartfelt contemporary pop rock tunes. That's the best way to describe it. But it's
like, what
it's
are we
just
talking?
Very,
like what's a band comp?
Oh, boy. I don't even know. It's the kind of music that I feel like is more accessible to people who perhaps don't like musicals. But it's also just very, like... It's very intelligent, and the music's great, is my point. And they finally released the cast recording, like, early February.
What's it about?
I don't want to say. I don't want to say, because it's very, like, the spoiler, like, if I spoil it, it doesn't have, like,
you can't even
impact.
Say what it's about?
There's a letter.
Okay. I thought
based
there might
the title.
Be. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a person named Evan Hansen, I'm assuming.
And there is a lie that snowballs out of control.
Okay.
I just don't want
to
say anything beyond that.
Should people listen to the music, though, or should...
I mean, it's one of those things where it sort of is like, if you ever feel like you might have the opportunity to see the show, definitely see it. But, I mean...
You are recommending it as a thing.
It's great as a thing. I mean, it's a thing.
How many songs is it?
14.
How long?
It's about an hour's worth of music, but it's great. Off-Broadway. No, I saw the show last year when I was off-Broadway, and it sold out its run, and they kept extending the run. Mm-hmm. And the producers obviously wanted to move it to Broadway, and it's been running on Broadway, and it's timely. I feel like in a lot of ways it is sort of geared towards a younger audience, but like the emotional resonance I feel like can be effective for everyone no matter what your age. But it's that kind of thing where you go to the theater and like you see so much of life reflected, and it also just like, I don't want to spoil, like I said, too much of the story because it is sort of complicated, but there's a lot of sort of complex feelings about what happens. Like you're both like feeling emotion for the characters, but you're also sort of turned off by their behavior. There's a lot of stuff about social media and the way people interact on social media and sort of the negative aspect of social media. It's very contemporary and very intelligent. And I mean, I thought it was very moving. And a lot of that is, for me, you can detect it in the music. I don't know if that's simply because I have an experience to attach listening to the recording to, so it makes it more emotional.
Did you listen to the recording before you saw it, though, right?
No, because the recording didn't exist. Yeah. I do highly recommend it. If you can get tickets or if you're in New York, it's sort of like the hot thing. I mean, you could say it's this year's Hamilton. I mean, it's obviously a very different thing. Like, it's not going to be a juggernaut in that way, but it is original. Obviously, Pasek and Paul are kind of having a moment. They're nominated for 2 songs for the Oscars because they did lyrics for them. And the album just came out.
For La La Land,
yeah. Excuse me. And then, obviously, the Dear Evan Hansen album just came out. So they're kind of having a moment. And it's just cool because they try to do original work. They have other things that I've really liked in the past. And it's cool to sort of see them sort of reaching, climbing the ladder of success. So that's what I'm recommending. I think people should give it a listen. I think it's worth listening to. Like I said, if you're in New York, definitely
try to... All right, so I'll trade you. You take this book.
Definitely try to see it if you
can. Actually, I'm not done with it.
Yeah. I think the CD, the album, I think the music is sort of a rewarding experience on its own. So I do recommend it. But go for your second recommendation if you want to.
So I believe both of our recommendations are podcast episodes. Not entire podcasts, although I think we would probably recommend
these
particular podcasts.
Yeah.
I want to recommend an episode of On Being that came out February 9th.
Hosted by Krista Tippett, if I'm not mistaken.
Tippett.
Okay. What episode and what was so great about it?
Alain de Botton.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's pronounced weird. Anyway, it's called The True Hard Work of Love and Relationships.
Okay.
And I don't want to recommend it as sounding like the title. Because I feel like people might hear the title and think, this sounds like a cheesy, bad podcast for people who want relationship advice. But it's actually a really smart meditation on human relationships and how they function in the current world. Mm-hmm. And he actually came on the show as a response to an article he wrote for the New York Times called Why You Will Marry the Wrong Person.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
I don't remember reading it. I remember seeing it, and it sounds kind of trolly. So I saw it and I saw he was on the podcast and thought, oh boy, here we go.
But you were surprised.
But I was very surprised. Very smart, very intellectual. He discusses the way that humans have taught themselves to love each other or to view relationships. And he even talks to the host, Krista Tippett, about... she says she's single, and he says, well, no one is single.
Oh boy, what a take.
Because there's love in all kinds of ways. I'm making it sound so bad.
Oh god, you really are.
I'm making it sound so
bad. You're not selling it all that well right now.
The truth is, it's not bad. Even though I just probably ruined it. I probably just ruined every chance of convincing anyone to listen to it. But really, it's just more of a realistic view of relationships than sort of the fairy tale storybook one that movies and TV shows
aspect rather than the romantic aspect.
I don't know if technical's right, because it sort of is beautiful the way that he looks at it. Here's a way to frame it for you.
Okay.
It's almost viewing relationships through the prism of whether it's a romantic relationship or like a friendly relationship, yourself being the reason that things go wrong rather than blaming the other person. And you being the worst person instead of you being the better person. Just sort of, it's a lot like that, sort of reframing through that point of view.
Okay.
And it provides a really interesting conversation. There's some interesting discussion of how the current political climate might have affected the way people have relationships.
Interesting.
It's really good. So, On Being.
The podcast is On Being, and the episode was with...
Alain de Botton.
Botton. Okay.
It was February 9th.
February 9th was the date of the release.
The
date of the release.
Yes.
Okay.
That's mine. Those are my two recs. Postmortal and On Being episode with Alain de Botton.
And my... we're going to wrap up here shortly. We have one more thing to take care of, but... real quick, I know we've mentioned before on this show that we both really like the Long Form podcast.
Oh, great.
Which is a journalism.
They have the best
podcast.
Mics, too. Have you noticed that?
What, just like the audio super
like the
crisp?
Way their voices sound, and even their laughs sound like really good for podcasts, if that makes any sense. They're kind of like...
Interesting.
That was a really bad impression.
But anyway, I believe his name is Ezra Edelman. He is the director of OJ Made in America, the 7-hour ESPN Films 30 for 30 OJ Simpson documentary, which is nominated for an Oscar, which I think...
Have you seen it?
I tried... After listening to that episode, I tried to watch it. It's just so dense. Like, it's so daunting. Not that I don't want to. It's just the first part, because it's cut into parts. The first part is 3 hours and 3 minutes.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, all right.
I thought they were each an hour and a half.
No, there's... No.
I thought there were five an hour and a half.
Well,
five 90-minute parts.
The way it's cut together on Hulu, the first part is like 3 hours. The second part is like... 2 or 3, and then the last one is like...
Oh, so there's only 3 parts on Hulu.
I believe.
Okay, because when they originally presented it, I know it was 5 90-minute episodes.
But I knew, you know, I've been hearing a lot about this documentary. We've, I think, both been very interested in watching it. It's just something that's going to be very time-consuming. But it's not. It sounds as though it was an incredibly daunting task, and it's the filmmaker is very shy. And
it comes across in this interview, too.
You've listened to this episode. And he's sort of uncomfortable with all of the attention that he's getting, but he's proud of the attention
that
is getting. I just, like, he didn't even want to make a movie about OJ. Like, he wanted to make a movie, like, he was interested in a subject, but they were like, ESPN was more or less like, we want to do 7 or 8 hours on OJ, or 7 hours, and he was like, how about 8 hours? And then they were like, OJ, and so he found a way to basically paint a picture. This is my understanding, this is the way... not just him, but how everyone has described it, paint this picture of America in the 90s that is very broad and covers race and culture and the way we consume cable news and a lot of the stuff that we kind of touched on when we did our discussion of the FX drama, The People versus O.J. Simpson. Because it's about 20... What were you going to say?
I was going to say, lest we forget, this show came out... I don't know what was funny about
lest we forget. It was the face you made. Anyway, 2016,
not a visual medium, unfortunately.
Last year and 1996, well, when the OJ trial was going on, that's 20 years.
These two shows, People vs. OJ and this documentary, came out within months of each other, and yet people still managed to be blown away by this 5-part film that came out after the TV show that everyone loved. So I don't know if that speaks to the movie or the
material. Well, it's
material
sort of interesting,
or
and I'm obviously like shouldn't be commenting too much on OJ Made in America as a piece in and of itself because I've only seen about the first hour of the 7 or 7+ hours of it. I just think like what an achievement, and it just the interview is just fascinating because you realize like how much work had to go into. You know, there's no narrator in the OJ doc.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, it's all just, like, archival footage and interviews. And so they had to craft a story and paint this picture of basically, as they put it in the podcast, how effed up America is.
Yeah.
And just so, the way that our culture now sort of reflects, there's been sort of an evolution the last 20 years, you know, with all the cable news, with our fascination with celebrity and the salacious details of some of these, like, sort of crimes committed by celebrities.
So this is basically a recommendation.
It's just fascinating.
This is a podcast recommendation with a movie recommendation stuck inside of it.
I mean, everyone's
haven't seen it.
More or less predicting that O.J. Made in America is going to win documentary feature, and it sounds like it should. But
we won't even get into
that mess.
But anyway,
the episode, but I think, as Taylor was saying, aside from just talking about these specific episodes of these podcasts, both On Being and Long Form are terrific podcasts weekly. I mean, pretty much every week they're pretty great.
Long Form had an episode with Terry Gross,
host of NPR's
Not
Fresh
too
Air.
Long before the Ezra
Edelman
one.
Yeah, it might have been
one.
The week before or two
and
weeks before.
Also very good.
Excellent episode. So anyway, I think we're going to start to wrap up here, but I think we wanted to do a little bit of a primer because I think we have a guest coming on to talk about Legion.
Noah Hawley is joining us.
Noah Hawley is not joining us.
I wish.
A good college friend of ours who's pretty into comic books and the X-Men, from what I recall. Is going to join us
in one of our future episodes, hopefully pretty soon.
Yeah, hopefully an episode pretty soon. We're going to be talking about the first couple episodes of Legion on FX, which is, as Taylor just referenced, the showrunner is Noah Hawley of the television version of Fargo fame.
Mm-hmm.
Great show. Second season is one of my favorite seasons of TV of all time. But the third season is going to air later on this year. And let's just say, maybe Noah Hawley maybe should be given more and more responsibility
he should
in
be
creating
given
television.
All of the televisions.
So,
just
real
just
quick,
like all the televisions
anything,
that are going on in our boy Dan Stevens' mind there.
Yeah, I think I texted you after I watched the pilot and said, maybe the FX should just be the Noah Hawley network and they should just have him run all the shows on FX.
Well, I texted you and said they should cancel all other shows because I'm not as excited to watch anything as I am to watch the second episode of Legion. After I watched the first episode, I watched it again.
So what is it about it, without spoiling much, because we're obviously going to talk about it as a show and get into some plot mechanics and details and stuff, but like just kind of as a primer, what is it about this that's so exciting to you?
It's just wildly inventive in a visual sense, in a storytelling sense.
Visually, it's so striking.
In the way that story is laid out and the way that information is presented. Like I just said, the visuals. Like, the transitions between things are even really cool. If you go back and watch the first scene, there's sort of a montage-type thing that fades into the opening scene after that in a really cool way. I'm trying not to spoil anything, I guess. But,
right.
I mean, mainly the show is just unashamedly weird and insane, and I'm really into stuff like that, whether it's Twin Peaks or Mad Max or this. I mean, my father my father watched the first episode also. Because he was a fan of Fargo, and I told him, hey, another show is coming out by this guy, and I think it's about superheroes, but it's probably going to be interesting. This is before I watched it. And he texted me and said, that was weird. It was very hard for an old man like me to keep up with it.
But
my dad's not old. I don't know what he's talking about.
But what was the, wasn't there a caveat, though?
Well, he said, but I am very interested.
Right.
So who knows if how long he'll stay on board, because I think he bailed on Mr. Robot because it stayed weird. And
right.
But it's a really fascinating show. I'm just really, really excited to see what happens in this little 8-episode season they have.
Couldn't believe, like, the first 20 minutes. I just feel like they throw you into the world that they've built in a way that most TV shows don't. You know, so many pilots are so exposition-heavy. And they're definitely...
There is a good bit of that.
They're laying track. But it just feels... They're doing it in such an entertaining way with such a skill and a craft, and they're doing it so artfully, and everything just looks so aesthetically pleasing, and the performances are so interesting, and it's like got this quirky humor to it, but it's also technically in the X-Men universe, and it doesn't match anything we've ever seen in any kind of cinematic incarnation of X-Men.
I've never seen an X-Men movie, but I was super into this.
Never in your whole life?
Never
a single one?
Are
I mean,
we doing
like
this? I've seen,
seven now.
I've seen a Wolverine movie.
Oh, boy.
I believe
Are
it was called Wolverine?
The Wolverine? Are you interested in the Logan?
Oh, I love the trailers.
Trailers are cool.
I don't know if that means the movie's going to be good.
Trailers are really cool. But anyway, that's trailers a little off topic, but Legion is an X-Men comic. It's based on... So this show is technically an adaptation of that, although it sounds like, from what my understanding, they took a lot of liberties and kind of just were like, we're going to do what we want to do. I mean, no, I feel you. Like, who cares?
To comic book people.
But technically, this is a comic book adaptation. I mean, have we ever had a comic book adaptation on TV this good and this sort of non-formulaic?
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
That's
fair. I'm as excited as you are, but it has only been one episode. I mean, I have only seen one episode. There have been more than one episode.
Right.
But I have only seen one still.
I feel
I'm very excited.
I feel like what we're almost getting at is sort of making the case for Noah Hawley as a creative person. Because
we'll talk more about that, I think, when we have Andrew on.
You sold me on his... He wrote a novel, like, last year, right? Or maybe the year before, the fall? I'm not sure exactly when it was published, but it was
in
the last 2 years. I have it on my Kindle, but I haven't dove into it yet.
I start to get worried when Fargo's coming out and I'm reading this book and the Legion's coming out. I start to think, like, how long can he do this? How long can he do this many things this well? So just enjoy it while you can, you know?
Interesting. We're going to have our friend on to talk. Because he's a bit of an X-Men buff, and I think he was impressed with the pilot, too. And so I think we're going to have a guest to talk about that. And
we're going to try to have some fun.
So we'll be doing an All-Legion episode. And at that point, I think there will be at least two or three episodes that we can talk about and chew on in a little bit more depth. So Taylor's going to play us out.
Listen.
I'm Aaron Lammer. I'm here with Evan Ratliff, Max Linsky. Guys.
Hey.
Got a crackerjack of a show today.
That can only mean one thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
With the laughing.
The laugh. They have good podcast laughs. It just sounds very good.
All right.
That's long form.
Long form. Anyway, great journalism podcast, which I recommended an episode of. And I think that's gonna do it for us here today at the Foxworthy Podcast.
Yeah, so check out Dear Evan Hansen, check out Long Form with what's his name?
Ezra Edelman.
Check out On Being with Alain de Botton. Check out The Postmortal by Drew McGarry. And check out our Survivor podcast. And check out our iTunes page. And give us all the stars.
We'll be back to talk about Legion. Thank you very much for listening. Yep. We'll see you next time.
Have fun. Bye.
Foxworthy Podcast.